Exodus 20 on page 77. Most of us work. And even the word work conjures up various feelings. So you might think of drudgery, weariness, aches and pains, frustration, delight, fulfillment. Some of us are in work that we really enjoy. Some of us are in work that we don't enjoy at all. Wish we were doing something different, or wish we were paid more, or wish for something different. But so much of our life is oriented around work. It takes the prime hours of the day. Where do children spend their day? At school. Between the hours of, 7:30 to 3. Those are really nice days. That's when there's daylight and they're at school. And teachers are at school, and you often are at your place of work. Work will determine perhaps where you live. Of course, COVID and remote work changed a lot of that, but still much of our work is oriented to a place. Your work will determine at what standard you live, how much money you earn. Your work schedules your day. It may actually determine how much time you have for other things. It's how we identify ourselves very often. What is it you do? We've often thought that we think of ourselves as human doings, not necessarily human beings. I'm a teacher, I'm a pastor, I'm an engineer. Whatever it might be, I'm a doctor. Work is very important. Sometimes, however, in our world, it is too important. And it actually begins to rival God. And that's the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. And some people put work in that position. All their identity is drawn from their work. Work sometimes demands great sacrifice and dedication. Some of us perhaps feel we need to be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Some of us feel, I can't take a vacation. I can't be gone. I can't be out of touch. I have to always be available. And sometimes your boss thinks the same of you. You must always be reachable. And so then we find ourselves exhausted and burned out. Well, in contrast to that stands the guardrail of the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. 6 days you shall labor, but on the Sabbath, the seventh, you shall rest. So as we've been doing, take your book, the Bible, turn to Exodus 20. We're going to read verses 1 to 17. Again, I'm encouraging you, along with a Psalm of the Month, to spend time in Exodus 20, memorizing verses 1 to 17. So to help you, let's read together. Exodus 20, 1 to 17. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. And then from the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 13. I'll read this to you. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. If you are in Christ today, you are no longer under condemnation. And the law comes as instruction for living as those who are redeemed. And that's where the preamble of the commandment starts. I am the one who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. As my people, then, here is how you are to live. And part of that is work and rest. That's how God did it. And he says, follow me. The pattern of his creative work is to be the pattern for our lives. Work and rest. In fact, the structure of the week is woven into the very fabric of the cosmos. There have been those who have tried to not rest. That doesn't work out very well. There have been those who have tried to change the week, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work out. People get burned out and exhausted. God creates, and then he rests. But where his work is final, where his rest is final, ours is cyclical. It comes around with great regularity. Monday comes, followed by Tuesday and Wednesday, all through the week, and then it starts over. And where God needed no rest, it's not like his creative work made him tired. In mercy, he set an example and gave a command for us to rest because he knew we need it. That's the way he made us in need of rest. Such is his compassion. He could go on and on and on and on, but he says, I'm not going to do that. I am going to rest and set a pattern for you. Now, neither his rest nor ours is to be simple inactivity. Resting is important. Napping can be important. But overall, it's not simply a rest to inactivity. Rather, it's a different kind of work. So Jesus says in John chapter 5, my Father is working until now, and I am working. Well, he's not doing the same creative work that he did on those 6 days of creation. But God was continuing to sustain the world by the word of his power. He's involved in his creation. Israel, in fact, had seen him work 10 miraculous, marvelous plagues in Egypt by which he brought his people out. So God is not inactive. He is very much active. And that work of activity now he has entrusted to the Son. So all authority is now in the hands of Jesus. He is ruling and he is reigning, and by his Spirit, he is involved. So as the Father continues his work through the Son, so he is at work even today. But that work of creation, God saw was very good. At the end of each day, he saw that it was good. And at the end of the week, he evaluates the creation, and then he rested. We read something quite interesting in Exodus 31, talking about the Sabbath. We read this: "It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Exodus 23, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed. Have you ever thought of God being refreshed? Literally, it means to take a breath. We need a breather. I don't know how many of you are into exercise, but at some point, your body can't go on. There are only so many push-ups you can do. And that last one, yeah, you just start to tremble a little bit, and you cannot press yourself up one more time. So what do? You rest. You take a breather. You take a breath. And that's what the Sabbath does. It gives us a breather. And it's a lovely translation, to be refreshed. God delighted in the creation and was refreshed, and we have an opportunity to also delight in the creation and be refreshed. This is the very idea of Sabbath. It's to be restful. So there's a positive command in the fourth commandment, not just to remember the Sabbath day, but 6 days you're to work, faithfully fulfilling God's call on you. And you are called to cultivate or to serve and to keep or to watch whatever dominion God has entrusted to you. I don't know that anybody in here has a cow. Any of you children, you guys have a cow at your house? How about goats? I have friends that own goats. How many of you have a cat? You have a dog? Okay, see, we have dog. We have a... Does this mean we're a dog church versus a cat church? I don't know. But you have a responsibility for that part of the dominion, that pet that's at your house. You might have your own room. That's your dominion. Some of you have a house. Some of you have a garden and a yard. Some of you perhaps have a business. You have a household. These are the areas that God has entrusted to you. And when you are faithful with little things, what tends to happen? It expands. And God will entrust more to you. So if you can't take care of one goat, why would he give you a flock of goats? If you can't manage $100, why would he give you $100,000? If you can't manage your pet, why would he give you children? If you can't manage a household, why would he entrust to you the household of faith as an elder? So this is the nature of your calling. This is the nature of your work. Because we are stewards of talent and resources and time. And we're to be about the work of extending the kingdom of God, bringing his dominion here as it is in heaven. That's what we pray for. Cause your kingdom to come, your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And part of that is our work and our labor. And part of that is our rest. Because the Sabbath gives time for reflection. It gives time for refreshment and recreation. It gives us opportunity for the recognition of God's provision and his ownership. It's also a call to faith. If you rest, will God provide? Can I trust him to provide if I rest? That was a lesson that Israel needed to learn in the wilderness. Because God provided manna, bread from heaven, for 6 days. And they were to collect it each day. And on the sixth day, only on the sixth day, were they to collect enough for 2 days. Every other day, if they kept any over, it would rot. But not on the sixth day. They gathered twice as much, and on the seventh, it was still good to eat. Because God was testing them and proving them and showing that he was trustworthy, but would they walk by faith and trust him to provide? He says, see, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. Do you trust God to provide if you rest? Later on in the law, God's going to provide for a sabbatical year. Can you imagine? Every 7 years, getting a year of vacation. Just sit with that for a moment. How many of you would say, no, 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 boss, I got to come in. I can't take that year off. Says, you know what? I'm going to make your sixth year so prosperous. I'm going to pay you all your salary in the sixth year to last you into the seventh year. No, no, no. Don't do that. Don't give me a bonus at the end of year six. I'll come in and I'll work all the seventh year. This is the goodness of God. And he says this, if you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year, if we may not sow or gather in our crop? I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year, so that it will produce a crop sufficient for 3 years. When you sow in the eighth year, you will be eating some of the old crop. You shall eat the old until the ninth year, when its crop arrives. Wow, the generosity of our God. I'm pretty sure none of us have that generous of a boss on earth. But that's what his promise is. If you trust me, in that seventh year, debts were released. Why? So that land itself the work animals, the wild animals, all could rest. The creation needs it. We need it. So if you're feeling spent today, if you're feeling exhausted, if you're feeling on the edge of burnout, I encourage you to remember the Sabbath and find physical rest. And Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness, wandering in the desert, and they practiced Sabbath. They gathered manna for 6 days for 40 years. It's a long time. And God was serious. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. That's serious. And Numbers 15 records the execution of a man who was found on the Sabbath out gathering sticks. They weren't real sure what to do with him, so they put him in custody, and Moses asked the Lord, "What should we do?" And he says, "All Israel should stone him with stones." Commandment number 3, if you take the name of the Lord your God in vain, he will not hold him guiltless, and the one who cursed was stoned. The one who gathered sticks in violation of the 4th commandment was stoned. No work is to be done. God is so serious about his law. Forty years later, the people readied themselves to enter Canaan, and Moses repeats the 10 commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And he gives a new reason in the 4th commandment. The 10 commandments read very similarly, except for the 4th commandment, where he says this, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Now we remember by his pattern of creation, but now we remember our slavery and our deliverance. The creation pattern gave time to reflect on the creation, and now that pattern gives time to reflect on redemption. We rest from our work to our sanctification. As we rest in Christ, there is a spiritual component. It's not just physical rest. There is a spiritual renewal that's happening. We're no longer striving at law-keeping to gain assurance. We're no longer ashamed of our failures, but having been redeemed, we rest in God's love. We don't keep the law to earn his approval. We already have it in Christ, so we keep it out of gratitude and thanksgiving. For Israel, then it was their release from Egypt. For us, it's from the condemnation of the law of sin and death. We have been delivered. So then we find rest through God's provision, the gift of grace in Christ alone. Should you continue to pursue a clear conscience on your own efforts, you will find that to be a fruitless endeavor. Your conscience will always be troubled. But fundamentally, it demonstrates unbelief, because you would rather work and labor to try to earn your way to some level of peace rather than simply accept the rest that the Lord himself offers. So Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He himself is the Lord of the Sabbath, and he says, come to me and I will give you rest. Keep Sabbath and you'll find spiritual rest and refreshment. By the way, our Savior Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, bore the penalty for our failure at keeping the Sabbath. As much as he died for blasphemers, he has died for Sabbath breakers. So we find our forgiveness in him. He's died for idolaters. He has died for atheists, because such were some of us. But by his Spirit, he renews us and no longer holds our trespasses against us. So the Sabbath is a gift of grace. The Lord says, I'm not like your old master in Egypt, Pharaoh, who had you enslaved. I am going to give you rest. In fact, he commands it. Really? He commands you to take time off. Again, can you imagine that being at work? You may not come in on Friday. Oh, no, no, I have to. No, no, you may not come. You must not come in on Friday. So I'm going to give you the day off. I think all of us would welcome that. We would embrace that. Nobody would say, no, 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 I can't take the holiday. We would take it. Such is our Lord. And notice, too, that this rest is not offered only to those who can afford it, but it's offered to all. Children, servants, animals, strangers and foreigners, no one is exempt. All are to rest together. It's a society-wide commandment. This is not individual. It doesn't give the option, by the way, of taking whatever day suits. This is not, oh, I'm going to take my Sabbath on Wednesday. That's not left open to us. God desires the whole community to rest as a whole community. And in this way, we extend the gift of grace, we extend the gift of rest to others. And we invite them into a life of faith which has room for rest. That's part of our salvation. That's part of our renewal, that we can rest. And the Sabbath itself points forward to that final eternal rest found in the new heavens and the new earth. So in keeping the Sabbath, we grow in our anticipation of that great final day. So as the Lord's Supper, it's kind of like an appetizer for that wonderful wedding feast. You guys know what that's like. You go to a wedding, and the wedding is done. You go to the reception, and you wait around. But what do you do while you're waiting around? Well, you hopefully have some kind of appetizer, or you go look at the cookie table, and you sample a little bit. But you're anticipating the party. So the Sabbath, a day of rest, it's like an appetizer that helps us to anticipate the new heavens and the new earth. where there's no longer any curse. There's no longer any tears. There's no longer any exhaustion. Everything is as it should be. Can you taste it? But the command is to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How might we better do that? Well, Crown and Covenant has recently published a book that will help you do that. A book by Daniel Howell, and our hope is, our plan is in the early new year to take a number of weeks, 4 or 5 weeks, to go through the book together. So we'll expand on this. But if you can't wait for that, and you want to know, well, how would I better remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Well, do what it commands. And first off, work 6 days. I grew up in the church. I grew up in this church. I grew up in a strong Sabbatarian family, and I didn't really appreciate the Sabbath until I was in sixth grade, and I began to deliver the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. 5 days a week, I got up at 4:30, delivered my papers, got back to the house by 6. On Saturday, I delivered at 6, got home by 7:30. And on the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, the Christian Sabbath, there was no newspaper published by the Post-Gazette. I got to rest. I thought, oh, that's what this is about. I get to sleep in on the Sabbath. And that was part of it. But I didn't really grow personally to appreciate the Sabbath until I hit college. I was a good student. Studies came easy to me. But when I got to college, I realized the workload increased tremendously. But there was a day on which I was not allowed to study. What a refreshing day. Worked hard on Saturday sometime, late into the evening, and sometimes got up before the sun on Monday morning, but I had time to rest. And God in His grace gave me 2 other roommates out of 5 who had come from similar backgrounds. One guy from the RCA church in Philadelphia and one from a Reformed Baptist church in Carlisle who had been taught the same thing. And we encouraged each other in our 4 years at Geneva to remember the Sabbath. And we were healthier for it, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. We enjoyed the Sabbath. So it's hard sometimes for children to understand the Sabbath. Parents, you got to help them because they haven't been working. Unless you have them do chores, and you might say, you know what, on Sunday, on the Lord's Day, you're not going to do the chore. The trash can wait until Monday. You probably have to still feed the cat. That's merciful. But other things can wait. So 6 days, work. Doesn't mean for the employer. Again, there are chores aplenty around the house. There are other things we do that are work-related, and we can set those aside, at least for a day. Purposefully extend rest to others. Say no to commerce, please. You can read extensively about Nehemiah's approach to this in Nehemiah chapter 10 and Nehemiah chapter 13. He says this, if the peoples of the land bring in goods or any grain on the Sabbath day to sell, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or on a holy day. In fact, Nehemiah threatened violence on the merchants if they continued. He said, I will lay hands on you. Because by avoiding commerce, we allow others, especially the poor, to rest. Many of us have jobs we can do remotely, or they're only required Monday through Friday. And then some of us will go out on Sunday and make other people work who don't have the freedom or the income to say, I'm only going to work Monday through Friday. That's why this is let everybody rest. It's a community-wide thing. My principal as a teacher, my principal, not my principal who I work for, but my principle is I never assign homework on a Friday due on a Monday. Because I know students, they will do it Sunday. I don't even know why I give them a week to do take-home tests, because they're all going to do it the night before it's due anyway. But I learned that, and so don't give them assignments on Friday, because I don't want them working on Saturday, on Sunday. I always like Geneva's online program, for which I've taught. All the assignments are due Saturday night, and then it closes. You can't submit something on Sunday. But I like that. They're living into this. I tell my students, don't send me an email on Sunday. For one thing, you shouldn't, and I'm not going to read it. As much as the eighth commandment, which is what? You shall, yeah, everybody's like, whoa. You shall not steal. As much as the eighth commandment protects property, the fourth commandment protects time. The fourth commandment limits the market, because the market now is always open. The online market is available all of the time, and it needs limits. And the Sabbath is the limit. On it, you shall not do any work. So what do? We do good. The Sabbath frees time for ministries of mercy and hospitality and evangelism and visitation and fellowship and worship. As your pastor, I'll say, be here each week. Stay for Sunday school. Show care for one another. Love your neighbors. By the way, worship here is the reason to miss everything else. There are some who reprioritize things during certain seasons of the year. And I would say this is the fixed thing on your calendar. The Sabbath. We worship and we rest and we don't do other things. Sorry, I can't make it. I'm already committed. So let me encourage you to embrace the Sabbath, to make it your ambition, to delight in the Sabbath. Claim Isaiah 58. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure, on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable. If you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Delight in the Sabbath. Rest. Worship, remember, celebrate. If it's not yet your practice, repent. Make the change today. And that might mean you're going to have to change your plans. It might mean you might have to stop by my house to get lunch because you thought you were going to get lunch at the grocery store on the way home, and now you're not going to. I got food, all right? My pantry is your pantry. We'll feed you. Seek the Lord. Keep his day by faith. Rest physically and rest spiritually in Christ. And thank him for a day of rest. Lord, we thank you that you are not like that old master in Egypt that enslaved us, your people, and made them work. you are not like him. He said, no, I am the Lord your God now, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Now, work 6 days and rest. And we thank you, Jesus, for fulfilling the Sabbath, so that now we rest in you and then we work. And that's a whole different sermon. But thank you for the rest that you give. May we enjoy it today and receive it as a good gift. May we learn to delight in this, resting physically and spiritually in Jesus our Savior, through whom we pray. Amen.